Good evening.
Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. Welcome back to KS Radio. This is Sister Valerie Harris on the line with Pastor Willie Hunter. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to open up with prayer. It's been a while since we've been together.
Amen.
And so, Father, we just want to thank you this evening. We come before you, Lord, with a heart full of thanksgiving. Father, you've kept us from dangers seen and unseen, Lord God. And, Father, there have been many trials since the last time we met. But, Father, you've seen us through. We thank you for your holy word that says that you would never leave us nor forsake us, and that you will not put anything more on us than we could bear. So, Father, even for those who are still burdened and downhearted and sad and even suicidal, Lord God, we lift them up in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing, Jesus. And we just invite the Holy Spirit to come. Have your way on this line and have your way in our hearts, because we can do absolutely nothing without you. Well, we're weak. You said, Lord Jesus, that you were strong. And so, Father, we look unto the hills which come in our help, because our help comes from none other but you. Lord, we're looking for great and mighty things in the days to come. We're praying and seeking you for revival and for a move of God in this city and in this state, Lord God, in this country. God, we need you like never before, Lord God. I thank you for your presence. And God, we thank you and praise you for the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. In your mighty, matchless name, Jesus the Christ, we give you thanks. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I am so glad to be amongst the living on tonight, and glad that God has called me by my name into a purpose and into destiny. And what I want to share with you, you know, sometimes you may find yourself where you even question. At least I'll just speak for myself, that I find myself in situations and I wonder sometimes, Jesus, why am I doing this? Why? And so he took me back to the basics, the things that we're all familiar with. And so tonight I want to go into the book of John, the third chapter, starting with the 16th verse. And it's familiar to everyone that we know that's saved. And it reads that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believed on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth come to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So the reason why, the answer to the reason why we do what we do and we serve God with our whole heart is this scripture right here, that he loved us so much. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I find strength in that scripture and the eyes of my understanding being enlightened that he didn't just die for me. He died for the world. And I was looking at when Jesus was crucified, and you'll find this in Luke 23:39-43, when it talks about how he was hung between two thieves. And it reads, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art of the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Man, judge, we judge one another with such different standards. We look at a person for what we think that they've done wrong or what they have done wrong or how they've wronged us and how they wrong others. But very rarely do we turn that finger back to us and judge our own self for the things that we've done wrong. Through the eyes of a holy God, sin is sin. Whether it's a lie, whether it's a murder, whether you a thief, a robber, a rapist, or whether you a forger, or whether you a fraud, whatever you're committing, your lust, your adulteries and your fornication, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what right do we have to sit in judgment of someone else? Man looks at the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart. And God said, when men do evil deeds, they reject the light. But when your deeds are good, you have come to the light. I guess I was stirred up over the past few weeks because many of you know that my nephew, Christopher, was executed by the state of Texas. But he was a transformed man. His life was different. He committed a crime. He committed murder. And he was in a gang. But the state of Texas didn't care about his story, didn't care about where he came from. They were judging him on his past, but did not consider his present. Not considering that God had changed this man's heart and God had mercy upon him. So why don't we have mercy on the things that God has mercy on? And he's not the only one. We do it in everyday living when we fail to forgive. But when we fail to forgive someone else, how can we expect God to forgive us? Love and forgiveness are two essential elements to God. He commands us to love, and he commands us to forgive. That we should forgive one another as he has given forgiven us. We should show mercy to someone else as he has shown mercy to us. We cannot go through life thinking that we have been perfected in our own self. But we must look unto the King. We must look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. It's an absolute insult to God when we use his name and we do the abominable things that he told us not to do. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. There's one judge that's judge of all. And one day, we're all going to have to stand before the judge. Romans 14, beginning with the 10th verse, says, "You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow before me, and every tongue will acknowledge God. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to be any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person, it is unclean." We have to get back to God and God's principles. We need to look at one another through the eyes of this God who gave his only begotten son, that we might have the right to the tree of life. The one who bore our sins upon a rugged cross, standing between the midst of two thieves, they both were guilty. They both were sinners. Neither one of them asked for forgiveness. But you had one on one side that was mocking him, saying, "If you be the Son of God, save yourself and save us too." And yet the other thief said, "Do you not even fear God? We deserve what we get." But he does not. And he turned to the Savior. And all he asked him was, "When you enter into your kingdom, remember me." And Jesus' words were, "Today, not tomorrow, but this day, you will be with me in paradise." He took ownership of what he had done. He took ownership of who he was. I can only imagine, as he was hanging on that cross, taking ownership, he knew he was unworthy. He knew he was a sinner. And even as Jesus hung on that cross, extended mercy to someone with a repentant heart. That's the God we serve. That's the one we live for. That's the one we should be willing to lay our lives down. He said that the world would recognize us by our love, that we should have love for one another. He did not come to save the righteous. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Our world is so much in trouble because we don't recognize God as God. If you look at the different religions that man has come up with, the central bond in every religion is love. We might disagree on doctrine. We might disagree on our religious services. We might disagree on many levels and on many things. But the center is love. Have you ever thought about what the face of God looked like? Moses said, "Father, I want to see your glory. Show me your glory." And God's response was that no man can look upon my face and live. But he reveals himself when he says, God is love. If God is love, then his face must look like love. And whenever we look upon the love of God, we die. We die to ourselves. We're no longer the same creation. We have now become a new creation in Christ Jesus, where we are baptized in his death and we're resurrected unto life. But when we walk this land, we should look like Christ. We should sound like Christ. We should talk like Christ. And more than anything, we should love like Christ. For no greater love can a man have than he would lay down his life for a friend. So what are we willing to offer today? Can we turn that mirror around and look at ourselves in our own hearts before we judge somebody else about what they did? Are we right with God? Truly, he said, who the Son set free is free indeed. But he tells us not to return to our old ways. And then he said that we have an adversary with the Father, that if we confess our sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And not only forgive us of our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, we need to be cleaned. Our families need to be cleansed. Our cities need to be cleansed. Our nation needs to be cleansed. We carry on the banner that in God we trust. God bless America. But God, you won't bless men. So cleanse us, Lord, from our wicked ways. Cleanse us from our unrighteousness. We cry out for hope and we cry out for mercy and we cry out, God, for transformation in our lives. We come to you, a holy God, and we ask you to do a new thing. We ask you for mercy. Give us a heart like yours, Jesus, where we would love like you, where we would not bring you shame, where we would not disappoint our Heavenly Father by not walking in your ways and walking in your truth and living out the thing that you died for the blood of our ancestors are crying out. Help us, God, in this hour,
to be all that you have created us to be. Help us to love even our enemies. And help us to forgive. This is my prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name.
You had on a little signal light.
Jesus. Have mercy. Have mercy. If there's anyone that has something to add, if they have a prayer to pray, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know His Spirit, and if you feel like you don't know His love, tonight, right now, this is your time, because we invite you to come and experience the love of a loving Savior.
Amen.
He didn't come to condemn us. He came to rescue us. Amen.
Amen. Anybody have a prayer request? Anybody? Father, tonight, I just thank you for all that you have done for me this day, how you kept your hand and eyes and your ears watched upon my path. In the day where I now live, Father, I call upon you because you're the only true and living God. And somewhere, Father, somewhere in this world, men that don't know Christ as their Savior. But our prayers come forth. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for what you've done for us tonight. I want to thank you for your community tonight. I want to thank you, Father. I want to thank you right now for all the things that you've done for me. Then, Father, I want to declare and decree it's your will, it's your word. And you're the one who makes things accountable. And then, Father, there's somebody right now out there that don't know Jesus. But we pray for them right now. We pray for them, Father, that they will come to know Him as the only one. And then, Father, because we pray for all of those men and women, Father. We need you to send the mercy. We need you, Father. I need you right now, Father. Can somebody put it on me? Please put your phone on mute, please. Put it on mute, please. Thank you. Karandra Hosa Andrihi Karohora Le Korom the Sik Yon de Rahara Le Korom the Sik Yukurandri. La corombra ha te dio corso, corambrihi to vota so corandrihi, lambo hu chicunda e te ti vova ayata, te cuombe sicilioco, nemo popo sandrio corandri sicilio, lemo popo sandri e corandri sicilandra, nda hum de kelere bahayata te, nacum de heyata ta. And then, Father, we just want to thank you for the night, what you're doing right now. And then, Father, we just praise your holy name. We thank you once again, Father, from the rising of the sun to the setting of it, Father. For you give us the will to live your word. You sent your word through Jesus Christ, and He died for us. He paid that ultimate price. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for Him dying, going to hell, and conquered sin and death. I thank you for Him rising from the grave, Father. A testimony I have. He rose on the third day according to the word of God. And I want to thank you tonight, Father. I want to thank you for allowing us to come back on this KASK radio station and to reach out to the nation and touch somebody. Somebody will hear what the word says because Jesus Christ is back again. He's being held by the Holy Spirit. And then, Father, we pray today for our nation. I pray for our nation from the fire to the flood to the tornado. I pray, Father, that you will keep us. I pray that you will show us the way we need to go. And then, Father, because we need you from day to day, moment to moment. Thank you, Father, for your word. Your word can never fail. You said in your word, come unto me, all of you that labor and take my yoke upon me. Take that yoke. Let me put it on for you. But they want to put on the yoke for the heavy burden that are going on in this world. If it ain't one thing, it's another. And then, Father, because what he said, he promised us, I will never leave you alone. And because of not leaving us alone, he's given us a wherewithal to stand. And we stand. But you also said, go ye therefore into all the world. Preach, teach the word of God. You find, lay hands on the sick. Command them to be healed. Lay hands, cast out demons. And Father, we live in that time of day right now, particularly in America. Right here in Houston, Father, we got more murderers up in Lakers in Chicago. But we know it's a spirit of darkness coming upon this nation. Because at the top, Father, there's something wrong somewhere. But we in the righteous, Father, we're calling on your name right now. Have mercy upon us, Father. Have mercy upon me, Father. Have mercy upon us, Father. Your mercy endures forever. But in that mercy, we want to come to the full repentance and knowing that no God like you. Will you bless all that's on this line, on this phone? And then, Father, the person who's going to speak next, keep us, Father, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. So tonight we're going to hear from Sister Reverend A. Royal. Are you there? Reverend A. Royal, are you there? Are you there? Let me see here. All right. Are you there? Are you there? Reverend A. Royal, are you there? Hello? Reverend A. Royal, are you there?
I think she have a couple of more minutes, Pastor.
Oh, okay, but that's all right. I was just kind of going to tune in. But at any rate, well, I want to thank you tonight for what you've done, a great job, what God has done for you tonight by showing us and what God has seen and what God has done. And the more important, Sister Prophetess Valerie, is knowing the true and the living God. And we're living in a time right now. If we don't know him, we don't know heaven. If we don't know his Father, we don't know the Son. But tonight I want to just say thank you once again for being a part. And I want everybody to know that we're going to have a revival on August the 25th, 11 to 2. It's going to be located at 6300 Winfield Drive. And I see God has given it to me who's going to have a whole litany of people coming from North Carolina, coming from Dallas, coming in from Detroit, coming in from Louisiana, all points, even the West Coast, coming in to do what God is doing. And I'm believing that God's going to move on us like never before. Revival, 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 revival. Thank you tonight, my sister. God bless you. And I believe that Sister, the Reverend A. Royal Princess Love would have something to say to the nation right now. Amen, amen, amen. And praise God.
Dr. Hunter?
Yes.
Hello?
Okay. Hello.
My phone. Yes, I'm here. My phone, I was on mute on when you were saying all that, and I couldn't, and the screen had changed, and I couldn't get the thing unmuted. Well, praise the Lord. Prophetess Valerie was wonderful. God bless her. Her soul was wonderful, and I thank you for the prayer. Let us pray. Almighty Father God, who is Abba, Daddy, Father of all, who has raised us up to be sons of the Most High God, we enter into your gates with praise and thanksgiving, glorifying, magnifying, and exalting you and you alone, Abba Father. We thank you for the body of Christ, the least to the greatest, all over the world, those that know you in the pardon of their sin, who've been passed from death unto life, who've been regenerated and washed and made anew, and have been illuminated by your precious blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity at all times to be able to exalt you and give you all the praise that you are so highly, wonderfully, gloriously deserving of. Praise you with all my heart and my soul and my mind and my thoughts and my being, Abba. It is you. We know, Father, that before the foundation of the world, that you have chosen your people, Father. I believe your word. I pray, I believe your word, Lord. You say before the foundation of the world that you have chosen us and elected us and predestinated us to be sons of God. And we are privileged, God. We are so honored that you did this. And your words say, Father, according to Titus chapter 2, that it was not by works of righteousness, or least any man should boast. Lord, I thank you for your word, because it will not return void. We pray, we cry, we holler out, and we're shouting, and we're pleading for Israel, peace on Jerusalem. And we're pleading, Lord, and begging and travailing for this nation, God. Because your words say, in Proverbs chapter 28:13, Lord, it says that he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Your words say, happy is a man that feareth away, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. A roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. That's what your words say, Father. And you know we have come to that place, Abba, where there is a wicked ruler, and we are interceding that you reckon his mind, Lord. You are a mind reconciler, Lord. We're asking you to bring him to his knees and make him repent for division and mischief, not only him, but all that are sinful and evil, God Almighty. I ask you in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, and those of us who are set ourselves up as judges and condemners and self-righteous and self-holy, established us. Forgive us, God. Bring us to know him. We have nothing. We are nothing. We can be nothing without you, God Almighty. In the mighty name of Jesus. And teach us that we must love and must forgive all of those who do evil to us. And pray for those that would despitefully use us, Lord. And love our enemy as we love us. Oh, and our neighbors, Lord. But we leave all judgment to you, God, because you are the righteous judge. You are the holy one. Holy, 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 Hosanna, Hosanna, glory be to your name. Hosanna, Hosanna, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise be to you, Most High God. El Shaddai, Elohim, Jehovah Nisa, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom. We praise you, God. We thank you for the peace of Jerusalem. I bind every force that is evil on this land that will come against the word of God. I chose not to proclaim myself or my thoughts or my opinion, but just your word, Lord. In the name of Jesus, by the mighty Holy Ghost, let him always be the teacher, the instructor, and the guide. In everything we do, say, and think, regulate our minds that we will love you, not only in word, but also in deed and in action, God. And that we will die to our flesh and reign and live in the Holy Spirit's power. The promise you sent, who indwells us mightily, Lord. We thank you for your master plan. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, because you could have left us destitute. You could have left us without any hope or any dream. But you didn't, Lord. You had a plan before the foundation of the world to send back a Savior. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Lord God Almighty who came in the flesh. Oh, Lord, we thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, God, he suffered much for my righteousness and my justification. He suffered much and he bled, and his blood was pure and his blood was powerful, Lord. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that shall never lose its power. We thank you, Father, for a renewed mind, that we have the mind of Christ. And that we have the love of God abiding in us. In the mighty holy name of my Savior, Jesus Christ, we thank you, Father, for all of those that are babes in Christ who have not yet been able to take on strong milk, meat, but are still on milk. But we pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will minister to their spiritual minds and their Spirit inside of them, that they might grow thereby. For we are sent to elevate, to edify the body of Christ. Holy God, the anointing is so powerful. I just can't take it. But I thank you, Lord. I thank you for Dr. Hunter's hunger and thirst, seeking the righteousness of Jesus Christ, wanting to win souls, because your words say, Father, he that winneth souls is wise. We want to win souls, Father. We don't want to play church. We don't want to be condemners and judges. We just want people to know you like we know you, Lord. Know the love of God and the power of God and the greatness of you, God Almighty. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. 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 There's not enough thanks in my little body, Lord, to give you all that you totally deserve. I repent for any evil thoughts, the words, or things I've said, done, or any action. But I ask you to use this vessel to your mighty glory, God Almighty, to your glory, not mine. No self-exaltation in no kind of way, God. And I come against all those that do exalt their own selves and have a lifted up with pride and arrogance. For you alone, Abba Father, are worthy of all our praise and our humility and our love. In the name of Jesus, man is nothing but dust, nothing but dust. And we have nothing to brag or boast about Everything we got it from you, God Almighty. We didn't save ourselves. We didn't love ourselves. We didn't wash ourselves, and we didn't cleanse ourselves. Oh, glory. We thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, my God, I love you so much. And I need to, oh, I need you so much. I need you, my God, my Abba, my Jehovah, my El Shaddai, my Lord God Almighty, my Master. Your word says, Father, that no man can call you Lord except by the Holy Ghost. And I call you Lord because you are truly Lord. You are more than Lord to me. You're my being. In you I live and move and have my being. In you I have purpose. Otherwise I have nothing. Nothing, God Almighty. And I thank you for purpose, and that purpose is to magnify, glorify, and exalt you. With your name, honor your name, honor you by character, by my thoughts, by my mind, by my being. Holy God, holy, 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 the angels cry night and day, 24 round the clock, giving you praise, Lord. Let me come up to your standard of praising you, God, at all times, Lord. Let us, let my children's children's children and every saint children's children's children learn to love you with all their heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and go forth and proclaim your name, Lord, and preach your gospel, the death, the burial, and then the resurrection, and let people know that you are more than just good news, God Almighty. You are life itself, and that is more than just good news, God. You are everything we need. Everything we want. Oh, glory to you, God Almighty. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for your being my Father, my Abba, my Daddy, my cause, my purpose, my truth, my life, my way, my mind, everything. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your word, and your word became flesh. St. John chapter 1:1, say, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. That is also found in Colossians. Also, Colossians chapter 1:16 says the same thing. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So when we brag or boast or try to show somebody that we're more a Christian than they are, we're just deceiving, because the light that we have is the light of Christ, and he put himself in us. I beg of you all to humbly understand that we are nothing without Christ. He's everything. He's everything. I plead with your very soul, your very being, to know Christ in the power of his transformation, to know him in the power of his holiness, and most of all, know him in the power of his anointing. Holy, holy, holy. His anointing is so good. The word say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm telling you, I can sing, I can talk, but when I preach or when I teach, the anointing, the Holy Spirit takes over. And I'm telling you, it is so delicious. It satisfies my soul to the utmost because I learn from him. I don't be knowing what I'm teaching. The Holy Spirit be teaching it through me. So, and he can do the same for you guys. He can do the same for you. Just get one track minded and know the character, know the mind, know God, know him. And you will see that he will speak through you. He will surprise your mind. He'll surprise your heart with things he will reveal to you. He's not all evil. He's not mean. He's not the cruel God that people paint for you. He's a God of love, especially right now. We're under grace, y'all. It ain't just the fact that it's grace. It is grace time. For these 400 years, it's grace. We're under grace, you guys. Understand that. When God cuts off grace in Romans chapter 9, when the Israelites began to turn back to Christ, to turn back, when the Israelites turn to God, grace will be ceasing. There will be. So enjoy grace and grab onto it with your living breath because it's going to cease. Let me read y'all Romans chapter 9 because I don't think you understand. We're going around here condemning and preaching and all these things, telling people what they need to do, but we think this is going to last forever. Yes, we're understanding that God is good. God is good to the bad, to the wicked, to the ugly, to the just, and to the unjust. God is good all the time. That has not changed. And there will be no one that will be able to say that God ain't good. Even the wicked will have to say and confess that God is good. We know God is good. Listen at this Romans chapter 9. I'm going to start at verse 1 and go all the way down just to show you who God is. I tell you the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. Now this is Paul I'm talking about because me and Paul, I ain't saying what Paul's saying right here in verse 3, Romans 9:3. Listen to this. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, for Israelites to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenant, and giving of the law, the service of God and the promises. Verse 5. Of whom are the fathers and whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternal blessed God. Amen. You heard Paul. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect. I put not in there. It was not in there. Not was not in there. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect. For they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Y'all hear me? 7. Nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. Verse 8. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not, do y'all hear me? These are not the children of God, but the children of perdition. But the children of the promise are counted as the seed. Let me read that again to you, because we've heard so many teachings. And then I'm going to have to close out because my time is coming down. But we spent much good time in prayer, praying the word of God. Let me read it to you again. Verse 8. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. Verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time, I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. Verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac. Verse 11. For the children, listen at this, y'all, not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calleth. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, I have loved, but Esau I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteous with God? Certainly not. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then, it is not him that wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, that my name may be declared in all the earth. I'm going to stop right there. That's Romans chapter 9, 1 through 17. I read through you today. Next week, Lord willing, we'll go back, and we're going to do Romans 9 starting at 8. We will start at 18, but I'm going to go back over 1 through 17 to also show in the weeks to come to show you who God really is. Because we got God. We haven't learned the character of God. I've heard so many lies preached about God that, you know, it's just unbelievable. But I with all my soul, declare and decree to preach you the truth of who God really is. He is love. But he is also a God of justice, and he is. And as I told the church yesterday, I do want to remind y'all of 20 and 3,000. God opened up the earth and swallowed up 20 and 3,000 for murmuring and complaining and not being grateful. So I want you to learn to be grateful to God no matter what the circumstances look like, and thank God, because all things truly, truly do work together for the good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Amen. Amen. So no matter what has happened to you, no matter what sickness they done, you've been diagnosed with, no matter what lies somebody done told on you, no matter how your purse looks, give God thanks anyway, because he's working it out for your good. Give him thanks. It doesn't say it for all things, but in all things. Because there's not a circumstance, I can tell you, as an ex-quadriplegic, there's no circumstance that God doesn't deserve praise and thanks. No circumstance. I'm telling you, it might not seem like it at the time, with tears rolling out of your eyes. As I tell you, I thank God when I couldn't even walk. I thank God when I couldn't even lift up my hands. I thank God when I couldn't even speak. But I thank God because he had a better plan, and he's left me here 72 years. And I thank him because I sure couldn't have seen this far. And I glorify God, and I praise God for his word, because that is life. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to leave y'all now. If anybody has any comments or anything, give them to Dr. Hunter. God bless you. Love you. And you.
Amen. Anybody got a statement they want to make? Anybody got a prayer request? Anybody have a praise request? Are you there? Well, praise the living God. God has been so good to us today. And because what God is doing, I say revival, revival, revival. Amen, amen, amen. I hope and pray that all is well said. Now, when you get to read the book of Romans, you got to make sure you're going to get down in it deep now, because Romans will tell you the fullness of what God is all about. My God Almighty. When you go and read Romans chapter 1, that's the first four verses will let you know it's business. It's God's character. It's God's business. The more we see it, the more we love God. And I believe tonight we got a young lady coming from Dallas, Texas. Are you there? Are you there?
Yes, I'm on.
Well, praise the living God. Now, tell me who you be are. Hello?
My name is Jackie.
Jackie?
Yes, my name is Jackie.
Jackie, I want to let you know it's your time right now to take roll. Go ahead and take the radio. It belongs to you. Are you ready? Get started. Hallelujah.
Okay. I'm not going to be what I have to say is going to be, you know, short and sweet, not letting the Lord come in and do something different. But I want to talk about tonight about the voice. Something told me. I hear a lot of people saying something told me, not being able to identify or to recognize the voice of something told me. I hear the confession of it, you know, whether they're Christian or non-Christian. But an example of that is, you know, something told me to move, and when I did a huge tree fell where I was standing, or something told me to not drive the same route as usual. And I heard, you know, on the radio that there was a bad accident that happened at the same time that I would have been on the route. So we have to, the Bible tells us in Romans 13:7, it says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. And we have to begin to give honor to the voice of God when God speaks to us. We can't say something told me, not unless this is the voice of the enemy that told you to do something. But and I have been guilty of this, and I have been reminded that I have to be corrected. So we have to all be corrected when we say something told me, you know. I'm sorry. And if you're not sure of the something told me voice, measure it by the word of God to identify the voice. The Bible teaches us in 1 John 4:1-5 to believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are the spirit of God. And we are to know the spirit of God. And if we know the spirit of God, then we will be able to recognize the voice of God. Just as the baby is in the womb of their mother, they hear many voices, but they know the voice of mom because that is the voice they hear often and is connected to, and that is the voice that they will follow. We as born-again believers have to spend time with Christ in order to know his voice, in order to be able to recognize his voice when he speaks. I remember a time when I had to come back to Christ. I was a backslider. But on this particular day, I was at work standing behind a coworker at the printer. And these words came to me, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." I stood there wondering, what was that? Though it wasn't an audible voice, but the voice came in my spirit. I didn't even recognize it. I knew it was a scripture. But I didn't know what scripture it was because I had heard it in church. I looked at the printer, and the coworker that was printing paperwork, the paperwork that she was printing had my name on. I didn't cause a commotion. I stood there and watched her at the printer. I said nothing to her. I went back to my desk, and I called my mom, and I told her what had happened. She told me that it was a scripture. And so whatever what was going on, you know, with what the with the coworker was doing, I never knew why she was making the copies or whatever. But whatever she was doing, it never prospered. It never came to pass. So I knew then that I needed to know more about the word of God and what it said. And I became to know the voice of God, the voice of Christ, the next time something like that occurred, or next time something like that happened to me. The voice of Christ is very distinctive. It is expressive. It is directive. And it cannot be many. To know the voice of Christ, we have to be willing to hear him. When Peter, James, and John were on the mountain with Jesus, God spoke out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son. Hear him." A lot of times we are even in church, and we're in church, but we're not there hearing the word of God and hearing what is being said. And a lot of times you can ask a person, "Well, you know, how was church service?" "Oh, it was good, but what was being preached?" They can't tell you what was being preached because they wasn't hearing the word of God. So we have to be attentive and know when God is speaking to us and what God is saying to us. And if we are not able to identify the voice of Christ, you know, it comes with spending time with him in order to hear him. So not being able to recognize the voice of Christ will cause us to continue to say things like, "Something told me not to go over there," and "Something told me not to do this, but I did it anyway." And now you're in a situation that could have been avoided. So we have to learn how to be connected with Christ by spending time with him and to hear him and to recognize him and to obey him. So when things occur in our life, we are able to recognize the voice and give honor to the voice that we hear. I remember another time in 2014, February, I was going to work, and it was on a snow day here in Dallas. And the snow was, it was just beginning to really snow. And I had taken my granddaughter to daycare, and so I was headed on to work. And the street I was driving on, you know, it wasn't no snow, but I guess when the snow was hitting the ground, it must was sticking. But as I got closer to work, the audible voice of the Lord spoke to me and said, accidents. When the voice spoke to me, it was just like a stillness was in my car. So I was like, okay. So I was looking around, and I was the only car. You know, the cars that were around me maybe a quarter mile away from me. There was no cars around me. But as I got closer to the intersection that I was supposed to make a right on to turn to get to work, because I was like, okay, Lord, I just need to get to work. But as I was driving, my brakes line froze up on my car. And so had the Lord not had the ram in the bush for me, when I went into the back of another car that was there, you know, I was not nervous or anything like that, sir. I wasn't nervous. I wasn't upset. I wasn't furious. I was just still in the state of I heard the voice, and now it has come to pass. But being thankful and grateful to God at the same time, because the accident could have been worse than what it was had not a car been where it needed to be at that time. But I was able to give honor to God, recognizing his voice, and just continue to walk in and giving him honor just by hearing his voice. So we, even in this time that we live in, knowing that there are many voices, but just being connected to God, being connected to him, and we can be in a crowd of 1,000, and it can be chaos all around us. But being connected to him will cause us at that moment to hear his voice and to know his voice and to be able to distinguish at that time what he is saying among the many voices that are speaking, because we have connected to him, we hear him, we recognize him, and now we can obey him. So that's all I have for this evening. I hope I said something to give somebody encouragement. You know, somebody may, you know, be in a situation to where, hey, you know, is this God speaking to me? What voice is this speaking to me? Take that word and measure it by the word of God. Measure it by the word of God, because the Bible tells us that we are to try the spirit by the spirit. And that way you will know that it is the Lord that is speaking to you. You will know, because the voice of God does not come in fear. You're not going to be fearful no matter what is going on around you. You're going to be able to move as he tells you to move. So spending time with him, measuring, taking that word and measuring that word by the word of God, and say, hey, will God tell me to do this? Will God tell me to do that? What is God's word saying concerning his voice? What God is saying concerning his direction? Because we know that God is not going to speak to us, tell us to harm ourselves.
If you don't
mind. We have to spend time and be connected with God. So that is all I'm going to say for this evening. I thank God for the opportunity that I have to be able to come and to share with you guys tonight.
Amen, amen. Anybody else have something you want to share tonight? Anybody? Anybody want to share something with Christ is doing for them? What God is saying to them? Anybody? Are you there? Anybody need a prayer request? Anybody you know have cancer?
since I'm not praying.
I know somebody who just been diagnosed with cancer, the same cancer I had, and so I do want y'all to pray for her. Her name is Harriet, my girlfriend Harriet in Indianapolis. Please pray for her and pray for my daughter, my daughter that just lost her father, my stepdaughter that just lost her father. Her name is Renee. So pray for her. Yes, I do, and pray for me. Pray for me. Princess Love. And most of all, as I always request, pray for the body of Christ. That's the whole body. The whole body of Christ in Jesus' name.
Amen. Anybody else?
Yes, this is Apostle Esther, and I thank God for all I've heard tonight. And I just have a warning for everyone out there. You know, on yesterday, I saw on Facebook where this five-year-old little girl, she went to the door and opened it, and a kidnapper snatched her out of the door and took off with her. And they were asking her all to pray because the mother and all the family have not been able to sleep. They have been sedated and they can't go to sleep. Now, I said the alarm and alert was for all that was listening because of the fact when you hear something, it make you caution, and it made me caution because of the fact over here where I live, we have you probably have it too, the doors with the peephole. But a lot of times when we go to the door, we say, who is it? And we don't ever see who's at the door. And I would advise you to say, would you step in front of the hole because I don't see you. And so when you say that, then you can see who it is. And don't just snap the door open because it's just one of your neighbors or somebody. And then, too, I've had my five-year-old grandson over here, and he's done that, too. He's gone to the door and just opened the door. But we have to be the alarm went out for us to be more careful because in this hour, not only will they snatch a five-year-old, they'll snatch you and
your
purse and wallet and everything, or push you back in your apartment or what have you. Now, I heard Sister Jackie talking about the voice of God, and I also want to, inform you, too, that God, he speaks to you in many ways. You may hear audible voice, but he gives you, I know he gives me things or warnings like alarms or what have you. So it's before this even happened about the little child, we had an alarm go off here. And see, I went out ministering about the alarms. When you hear an alarm, that means wake up, something is going on. So this is a warning to all of us. You may not be the one that don't say who is it or no, but be careful and pray for your grandbabies that they don't open the door so quickly. Because we have people out there now that's doing all things that the Bible has prophesied about. And so we are in the end time. And when we're in the end time, we got to watch and pray. So my request tonight is for the little girl. They didn't tell her name, but she's 5 years old. And I pray to God that the kidnapper do not hurt that child and that the parents will get a good praise report and the child will be okay. Thank you.
Amen. Anybody else? Father, tonight we come before you with thanksgiving, knowing full well your word is solid. We speak to the cancer on a person's body, and we declare and decree her body to be healed. In the name of Jesus, And then, Father, because we know that you said in your word, you sent your word and you healed us, them. We've read in your word, Father. And Peter, where it says, by the stripes that Jesus bore on his back, we are healed. Thank
Amen.
You, Father. Thank you, Father, for letting that cancer dissipate. The blood cells will fall out. Her skin will be where it's supposed to be. Not only her, but everyone that's in the same place. We come with the megaton of power of the Holy Spirit. We come praying tonight, Father, believing that all things are working together. And then, Father, we don't come to put somebody down. We come to pick each other up. Your word says,
Amen.
Don't criticize each other, but lift each other up. I thank you, Father, this night that you have me where I am right now. I'm a nothing, but with you, I'm somebody. I am somebody. The only problem is what somebody. All we know, Father, you said in your word, looking unto
yes.
me who is the author and the finisher of faith, who thought it not to be robbery, but to be equal with God. Father, because Jesus said he's equal, we're equal with God also. And because he's given us the right, the transparency, the movement to move forward. Thank you, Father. And then, Father, because we just declare and decree that your word is better than baking powder. Oh, glory. Your word is better than lemon. Hallelujah. Your word is better than lemon. Your word became alive. Hallelujah, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. And then, Father, for Brother Jackie, pray, Father, that you give her the words like you gave her tonight. Give her wisdom. And then, Father, because somebody that I see here on the list, Father, I'm praying for somebody I don't even know right now. But, Father, I just declare and decree that right now, somebody can give us a good report. They are healed. I believe it, Father. I believe it. Somebody's on the line right now with some issues in their mind, in their body. But we're praying for you right now. And then, Father, I want to speak a word to that person just came on right now. That as I lay my hands upon this station right now, I believe that they will get touched. They will get touched. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. And then, Father, because we just praise you. We praise you and we love you and we adore you. And we magnify your name, Father. We come against all the evil spirits that you said. Be careful to entertain spirits of darkness, of lying, of cheating, thief, and robbery. Be careful, because some out there for unmedicated reason that were said to others a few minutes ago. But I am declaring and I'm decreeing that that child that was snatched will be brought back home unharmed, unhurt. And the person that did this, Father, will be in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Somebody in the background. Somebody in the background. Do you want prayer? Somebody in the background. You want prayer? Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Father, we have to come to know and respect each other's time before you. I ask you tonight, Father. Keep us and protect us in the name of Jesus. Anybody else got a prayer or request? Anybody? Well, I said it much until this time, until the Lord see you next week. But also, I want to say this to you. On the 25th of August in Houston, Texas, we're going to have revival. It's going to be from 11 to 2. It's going to be 6300 Winfield Road in Houston, Texas. And we're going to have God's going to use the Spirit to rest upon those who look what he's saying. Because he said, I am in you and you in me. And I know what God is showing me and showing us to do. I don't have time to play the game. My aunt, who's 93 years old, crossed over Sunday morning to be with the Lord. 93 years old. Everybody wanted to cry. I said, no, she's just sheep right now. The Bible says, the Bible says, God has declared all things are working together for those that love him. And one thing I will say to this, I love God. Do you love God? Praise his holy name. Father, thank you. May the Lord bless you and keep you until next time. God bless you.